Church, can you raise your voice and worship Him? Raise your voice, give Him all the praise. We thank you, precious Lord. Give Him all the praise, give Him all the praise. Give Him all the praise. Yes, we worship you. We thank you, precious Lord. Yahweh is who you are. Thank you, precious Lord, for all the things you've done. Labia duani aswate kosi sole manana kapara dosi latande. Zeketo selemande kupaila manusu suli makapatalia. Heto zenengu bande duala mandu sikaila. Liketo zizo ena paru sikaila makupatelia. Shela bila 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 duasi lamania. Mekila mundu sulamande sila patuse ilata. Hato sisoli malande naninae. Mesele likopaila likumanusi sande na kapalita. Hantu tuparusi la mina kupeila tasia. Jeene kupeili manunde sisuli maluparuske ilata. Heto zezoze nande kupaila. Ma shekeila hiku pahila, seleketo selele malabiba de kesula mania, mande ke shekeila paradaku susula biba, ne seile kukupa hala dia, jeina na malina ususuma ila, jenende si saila patosa ila katapa. Thank you, precious Lord. Thank you, precious Father. We are so grateful unto you. We give you praise. We give you all the glory, Jesus, for everything you have done. Thank you, precious Father. Thank you, Ancient of Days. Mebando sanande susaila mando shikaila patosi la tabiba. Anto anwande susamile kusi pailata. Me seketose ine kuteli makusi suliapa. Hina na bando, shina makuse sose sose. Hatu barande zinente kusi maila kupa. Mea nuanda kisu suma ila bande, jenendis, ezu saila kupe ilata. Hadu jeanda kupa ilimusu sunde kupa ila. Meseke tose ine kupe ila. Hila bibo sisomi naina wana usi soila papapa. Aika kupaila nima susaina kuteila. Mesika ila petos esosiana kupeila. Jeina makupenda zuzaila abda habiba. Seyande kupaila zuzaila makute susu. He diku shikaila mundu sikaila papapa. Meseine kupende zuze kupa tuizaile paresia. God is lifting a yoke. There's a yoke that is being lifted. There's a yoke that is being broken. Thank you, precious Lord. There's a yoke that has been broken. You can't return with that problem. You can't return with that problem. Say at the Spirit of God, my hands are upon you. Thank you, precious Lord. Thank you, precious Father. Give you all the praise. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' precious name, we worship. Father, we thank you, we give you praise. Thank you for great things you have done in our lives. We return all the praise unto you. We return all the glory unto you. Thank you, precious Lord. In Jesus' precious name, we worship. And the church will shout a louder amen. Come and put your hands together for Jesus as you take your seat. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We return all the glory unto him. We thank God for the testimony of our brother. To God be all the praise. You know, many times there are things we don't fully understand. There are things we don't fully understand. But one thing is certain. When we put our trust in God, when we cry for his mercy. You know, God said, I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. Sometimes it's not about our goodness or our goodwill. It's just about God showing mercy. Mercy. If there is anything you would always need to cry out to God concerning, it is mercy. Mercy. And it is the mercies of God that preserved him. God's mercy. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't have all the time. Very quickly, let's look at the word of God. I want to be continuing on the subject, walking with God. I have shared that in part 1, part 2, part 3. And this morning, I will be sharing the part 4 of the subject, walking with God. And I subtitle it, the issue of unmet expectations. The issue of unmet expectations. It's important that we look at this subject of unmet expectations, because This is the exact point at where many people pick offenses with God. This is where many things go wrong. Even with the seemingly matured Christian, somebody who we think has come to a point that he has become matured enough, at the pace of unmet expectations, things might go wrong. You may not even consider or inconsiderate of all the spiritual experiences and encounters the person had had with God, but when he is met with unmet expectations, things may go wrong. That was a problem of John the Baptist. A man so mightily used of God, so mightily used of God as the forerunner of Jesus. He was the one that announced the ministry of Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God. As Jesus Christ came and was being baptized, John announced it. But a time will come when John will send his disciples to return to the same person and ask him, are you the Messiah, or should we look for some other person? What had brought John from the point of revelation and encounter with God to have known and spotted that that was the person he had long been waiting for? As he baptized him, heaven was open with all the spiritual encounters and experience. John will send people to Jesus to ask him the question, are you the one, or should we look for another person? It was unmet expectations. When he was apprehended and was put in prison, there was something John was expecting, that Jesus will intervene. But unfortunately, Jesus never did. Jesus continued his sermon, preaching his message. And John remained in the prison for so long, expecting Jesus to show up. That was the man I announced about that was coming to deliver the people. He thought he would even begin with delivering him. But after waiting for so long, Jesus didn't show up. He said he sent his disciples, go and inquire if he's the one. You discover that Jesus didn't outrightly answer that question, if he was the one or not. The Bible says as they came right before him, he continued his miracles, he healed the sick, he raised the lame. He said, go back and tell him what is happening. The blind is seeing, the lame is walking, miracles are happening. And he says, blessed is he that is not offended because of me. Unmet expectations. As we walk with God, there possibly could be a time in our lives where we are faced with unmet expectations. I said this as I drew the closure to last week's message, that faith is not only seen when the desired result comes. Sometimes it is seen in your constant believing, waiting, and even dying in hope without seeing the desired result. That's still a dimension of faith. Sometimes faith will warrant the result to be seen. Maybe you are trusting God for something and you see that didn't happen. And in some other instance, faith can be expressed even in your constant believing, waiting, and even having to die in expectation that God will do it, even when he will not do it till you close your eye in death. It's still faith. I know many of you prefer the faith of waiting to see results. But sometimes there's a faith that waits and never sees results and dies in hope. That is unmet expectations. And if you are not careful to deal with it, you will pick offense at that time. Now, look at Hebrews chapter 11 and from verse 13. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. The scripture says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, they all died in faith, not having received the word promises. So there were promises they were expecting, but they died without having received it. It still brings us to the story of the three Hebrew children. They will say to the king, "O king, we are not careful to answer you on this matter. Our God will save us. But if he does not save us, we die. But as for this image, we would not worship it." Whichever way God shows up, that was okay for them. If God chooses to deliver them from the fire, it was okay. But if God chooses to leave us to die in this fire, we die here, it's still okay. But for this image, we won't worship it. That is faith. And God wants every one of us to get to that dimension of manifestation. And it will only take a mature Christian to operate at that level. I've told you this again, and I repeat this time and again, that the only option we have as genuine Christians in the face of trying times is to keep waiting on God for a change, or to die waiting on him for the change. That's the only two options we have. If we are matured Christians, we know there is no option we have in turning to the devil for assistance. We rather die waiting on God for the change than turn to the devil for what? Assistance. Because ultimately, the devil will not assist you. He won't. And whatever assistance, so to say, he renders to you is at the expense of your soul. So it's best you keep waiting on God for the change, or you die waiting on him for the change. There's no other option you have. But if you don't settle this at the back of your mind, you may be tempted at the face of certain situations to turn in certain directions for help. And you discover over time that the devil will not be able to render you any assistance that will be useful. It is important we deal with this, because this is at a point where many Christians feel offended with God. Some even threaten God with backsliding. As we walk with God, we might meet unmet expectations. That is where people threaten God with backsliding. "God, you do this or I what? Backslide." You might have been there before. Where you threaten God. But believe me, whether you backslide or you do not backslide, God is God. Your backsliding does not improve on God, or does it take away, subtract from God. Your backsliding does not subtract from God, neither does it improve on God. He is God all by himself. There is nothing we contribute to making God God. So if you choose to backslide, it's not at God's expense. It's rather at your expense. Are you listening to me? We also see the story of a man called Elijah. And that's where I want to mirror down on as I deal on this subject in the next few minutes, or a few minutes of time we have. Elijah was one of the men that did not see death, just like Enoch. There were only two people in the scripture that never died: Elijah and Enoch. In the case of Elijah, he so walked with God so that when it was time, he was taken up by a chariot. He didn't die. Enoch was translated. He didn't see death. We also see that Elijah was one of the men who featured in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. He surfaced in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. In the days of Ahab, in the days of Jesus, Elijah showed up at Transfiguration. Such an unusual figure. And even at the crucifixion of Jesus, There was high expectation from people that Elijah will come and save him. When Jesus cried, somebody says it's like he's calling Elijah to come and help him. That tells you how highly rated Elijah was. But even at that, Elijah was still faced with unmet expectations that brought him to frustration. And as a consequence, he chose not to continue. As serious as it is, unmet expectations. We see the story of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. After the contest at Mount Carmel, the Bible tells us that Elijah called down fire from heaven and it consumed the sacrifice with so many great things that happened that day. Elijah opened the windows of heaven thereafter and rain began to pour down. And he told Ahab, begin to run, the rain is coming. After 3.5 years. And as Ahab will take off, after a while, Elijah will fold his mantle and run on foot and overtake him and enter the city before Ahab. But even after all these things, the scripture tells us that Ahab went and related to his wife everything that has happened. And this woman got so angry. Elijah could have thought that with all this great move of God, that the entire city will now repent and turn to serve God. But he didn't know that those mighty works he did would even more harden the hearts of Jezebel. So she will send a message to him that before this time tomorrow, I will kill you. And when the message got to Elijah, he didn't believe that such a message will be coming from someone who lives in a city where such mighty works has been done. Elijah was so frustrated. The Bible says he got up and began to run. Out of frustration. Many people have cursed God because of unmet expectations. That was what the wife of Job told Job. Curse God and die. Unmet expectations. There was something they were expecting from God. They didn't believe that with all his righteousness and all the good things Job had done, that such evil will befall him. And when it happened to him, the wife looked at him and said, What is this you are serving about this God? With all these things we've done, we are serving God. Look at what has happened to us. Curse God and die. That tells you how serious unmet expectations can be. I know there are some of you this morning, there are things you have been trusting God and believing God about. But I want you to listen to this as I begin to round up in this section. One, be careful about the expectations you have in your heart as you serve God. If you are going to deal with unmet expectations, be very careful about the expectations you have in your heart as you serve God. When things don't move as you planned, still keep believing and waiting on God. Did you hear what I said? When things are not moving as you have planned, keep believing and waiting on God. Most times the problem is with the expectations we have. But for a man like Job, who had such an expectation that even though things go wrong, that sometime, somewhere, God will assist him, it was difficult for the devil to put him down based on expectations that has not been met. Unfortunately, many of us are not truly rooted in the Word of God to the point that we have the right beliefs about things happening around us. It's almost like those who run to church and you think the moment you come to church, everything automatically becomes good. I've told you this before. God has never promised us a life free from trouble. All he promised us is what? Victory. Did you hear what I said? God has never promised us a life free from trouble. All he promised us is what? Victory. Victory. That no matter what you go through, be rest assured that God will grant you victory. That's what he promised us. That's what he promised us. So be careful about the expectations you have. Many times we want God to move in certain ways, but God isn't ready or prepared to move in those ways. The second thing we also can say is that God is not always bound to meet our expectations, but his purpose. Follow me very careful. God is not always bound to meet your expectations, but his what? Purpose. Biblically, God is under bound to meet his purpose, not your expectations. It's true the scripture says the expectations of the righteous shall not be cut off. But that is expectations that aligns with his purpose. Did you hear what I just said? If you have expectations that does not align with the purpose of God, believe me, God is not under obligation to meet those expectations. That will bring us to the story of Lazarus. Mary and Martha expected Jesus to come when Lazarus was sick, but Jesus never did because it was not in line with his purpose. Did you hear what I said? Yes. It was not in line with God's purpose for Jesus to surface when Lazarus was sick. Jesus wanted to show up at the death of Lazarus. Did you hear what I said? That was when he wanted to show up. So no matter how much they expected and they desired and they called on him, the scripture tells us they even sent a message. The man you love is sick. And when Jesus got the message, you know what he said? He said, I'm glad I wasn't even there. I'm sure if it were any of you that sent a message to me about the situation you are going through, and I give you such reply, you won't return to church. That was the reply of Jesus. Jesus didn't want to show up. And the Bible says he waited for 3 days. It was intentional. Because in line with his purpose, he had need for a corpse, not a sick person. Are you listening to me? May God have mercy on you. When in your situation, God has need of a corpse, not a sick person. Because he would not show up until there's a corpse. Because in line with his purpose, he had need for a corpse, not a sick person. Believe me, if Jesus Christ wanted Lazarus to have recovered, nothing stops him from the moment they sent a message. From wherever he was, he would declare a word and Lazarus will recover. But he never did because he had need for a corpse as the center stage for his next purpose and move. And when we begin to cry on God to do something, and God knows in line with his will and purpose, contrary to our expectation, he has need for something else, God won't show up. And it's not a very good waiting time. That is where faith is needed. You've got to persist and hold on till he shows up. Lazarus is sick, but Jesus didn't show up. And when he dies, Jesus said, it is time. Lazarus is dead. Let us go. He's dead. Let's go there now. So when the man was sick, he didn't want to go. But after the man died, he said, let us go. In line with God's purpose, friends, understand this, that God's purpose supersedes your expectations. And that is where, as Christians, we must be ready to do whatever it takes to get God's will done. God's purpose. God's purpose. supersedes our expectations. And I know the third point I said, you can only fully know your expectations, but never all the time the purpose of God. Or I rephrase it, you can only fully know your expectations, but never all of God's purpose at all times. Many times we only know our expectations, but we don't know God's purpose. We don't. It was God that took a prophet to the potter. And then he saw a very beautiful pot that was made. And while he was admiring what was made, the potter took it and crashed it on the floor. And he said, "This is not what I want." And the man of God began to wonder, "This is so pretty, this is so wonderful." He said, "No." And God said to Jeremiah, "You are like a clay in my hands. Who is the clay to tell the potter what he wants?" And he began to mold into something else. Friends, when we meet unmet expectations, let us learn to rest and trust God. Hallelujah. They expected Jesus to intervene at Lazarus' sick bed, but Jesus wanted to intervene at his death. Jesus wanted to intervene at his death. And let me say this. In line with God's purpose, raising Lazarus from, healing Lazarus when he was sick will not give God as much glory as God desired than raising him when he was dead. Did you hear what I said? And that was a simple reason. When they told Jesus that Lazarus was sick, Jesus had to wait. He had need for a corpse. Because in raising a dead, he will get more glory. Not to think about somebody who has died after 3 days, already buried, and the chapter was closed. And when Jesus shows up, Martha will come up with her expectation. "My Lord, if you were here," that was the expectation, "our brother would not have died." And Jesus said, "I am resurrection and life. Anytime I show up is on time by implication." I don't think you caught that. So she was expecting Jesus to have come when Lazarus was sick. But Jesus said, "I am resurrection, I am life. Anytime I show up is on time. Even if I come after he has been buried, I still came on time because nothing has spoiled yet." Can I tell you, friends, that the God you serve is a God that anytime he shows up is on time. He knows how to reverse everything the enemy has done to accomplish his purpose. Martha thought Jesus had come late. And that's why she said, "If you have been here on time, if you have been here when he was sick, something could have happened, but now he is dead." Jesus said, "Open the tomb." "I told you he has been buried already. You didn't come when he was sick." Many of you want God to show up when you are sick. But sometimes God will to show up when you are dead. But believe me, friends, put your hope and trust God. There is nothing God cannot perfect. And Jesus knew he will get more glory raising Lazarus from the dead than healing him when he was sick. Perhaps if Jesus had healed Lazarus when he was sick, they would just dismiss that miracle as not so important. But now everybody will hear about it. Lazarus has been buried. They have finished the funeral. They have sealed the tomb. And Jesus shows up. And Lazarus comes back to life. And believe me, with that resurrection, it redefined the life of Lazarus. That Lazarus now became Jesus' testimony. And the scripture says that the Jews were now coming in, not just to see Jesus only, but that they will see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. May God give you a testimony that will redefine your life. that will make you become a living testimony of Jesus. That the moment people see you, they remember the great work God can do and has done. That was the purpose. To allow his death redefine his life. And the Bible says when they come and see Lazarus, they go and repent. So Jesus didn't need sermons again. He didn't need to preach to them. The moment they come and see Lazarus, they go back and do what? Believe on Jesus. And when the Jews saw what was happening, the Bible says they came back and they said, we will kill Lazarus again. They plotted to kill him the second time. Because what has happened has redefined his life. Friends, we must be very careful. We must be very careful. And let me move to the fourth point. That in God's program, his purpose always supersedes our expectations. His purpose always supersedes our expectations. God's purpose always supersedes our expectations. I want to close on this note, friends. But believe me, the purpose of God in your life, the purpose of God and what God wants to accomplish is greater than your expectations. Learn to submit to God's will. Inconsiderate of how unpleasant it might seem or it might actually be. Hold on to God. God will perfect that which concerns you. Many people have turned their backs based on unmet expectations. And that was where John the Baptist began to have offense with Jesus. Unmet expectations. And I ask you this morning, has God met all your expectations? I'm sure there are some of them that are not yet met. What is your plan about it? Do you have a case with God because of the unmet expectations? Or do you still keep serving him and trusting him that God will perfect it one day? That should be the attitude of a genuine Christian. No matter the expectations we have, it's not wrong to have expectations. But when they are not being met, it's not a time for you to turn back on God. It's a time for you to keep faith alive, keep hope alive, keep believing and trusting God. And believe me, friends, God must perfect that which concerns you. Ultimately, our view and our scope of life is always different from that of God, because we cannot see what God sees. Many times we see the smaller picture, but God sees the bigger picture. We see it from a smaller end, but God sees it from a bigger end. And all we just have to do is, like a clay before the potter, say to God, here I am. Do with me what pleases you. And that should be the attitude of every genuine Christian at the face of unmet expectation. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we said to the king, we are not careful to answer you. Two things will happen here. Either God will come and save us, or we die here believing God. But for this image, we've passed the point where we have it as an option. We would not bow down to it. May that be your attitude in the face of such afflictions. Let's rise to our feet. You might be met with unmet expectations. Unmet expectations. Time will fail me. That was where Abraham began to have certain issues. The promises were there, and he had waited for so long he hadn't seen it. And he asked God, does it mean Eliezer will now be the one to inherit it? God said, no, not Eliezer. A son will come from you. Abraham will still wait. A time will come when Sarah, the wife, will give him an option. Why don't you take Hagar? and go into Hagar, let God give us a child. And Abraham consented to it. And even after the son came from Hagar, God will return to Abraham in Genesis. God will return to him in chapter 17. And he will say to Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. We are told that the interval between chapter 16 and chapter 17 was 13 years. When Abraham slept with Hagar and the child came, chapter 16, that God left Abraham. And after 13 years, God showed up again. He said, Abraham, walk before me and be perfect. The verse 3 says, and God talked with Abraham. For years, 13 years had elapsed. God left him. God never showed up. And when he returns in verse 17, he tells him, walk before me, be perfect, I will fulfill my covenant. And Abraham will have to return to hold on to God despite the mistake. And believe me, over time, God showed up. God will show up in your life. I say, God will show up in your situation. Whatever you are going through, God will show up. Raise your voice and talk to him. Has unmet expectations begun to shift your heart from God? You are waiting on him for something and it doesn't seem to have shown up. Have you begun to reflect certain attitudes within you because it is tarrying? Are you beginning to relent in your walk with God because of an unmet expectation? Are you beginning to relent? Are you beginning to relent? He has asked me to tell you this morning that God will show up in your life. God will show up in your situation. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Raise your voice and talk to him this morning. As we walk with God, we might be faced with unmet expectations. What should be our attitude? What should be our response? Unmet expectations. They are really the proof that we are with God if we have to be careful to stand in the midst of the pain. We just keep believing. In the midst of those circumstances that are unpleasant, we don't like it, but we just keep believing. Are you shifting grounds because of unmet expectation? Have you sent emissaries to return to him to inquire if he is still the person or if you should look for another person? John the Baptist, you were the one that prophesied it. You were the one that saw the revelation. You had the encounter. And how come you question again if he is the one or you should look for another person? There was something he was expecting that didn't come through. When the things you expect don't come through, what do? When the things you are believing and hoping on didn't come through, what do? Faith is not only seen when the result shows. It can be seen in your constant waiting. Keep believing until you close your eyes, even without seeing results. That is where faith can also be seen. Faith can be seen there. These all died in faith, not having received a promise. Can we hold on to this God in the midst of any situation? Father, we thank you. Heal our backsliding hearts. Heal our backsliding hearts. Heal our backsliding hearts. The problem of unmet expectations. Heal our backsliding hearts. Come and talk to him this morning. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice this morning. Precious Lord, by your Spirit, move mightily upon their hearts. As many as are beginning to grow cold and inconsistent, because of unmet expectations. Lord, heal their backsliding this morning in the name of Jesus. I cover everyone in the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for this word that have come to us. Let this word continually speak through in our hearts, that it keeps us trusting and believing that when we see your face, Lord, we'll be glad that we have taken this walk with you. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. And the church will shout a louder amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah.